Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Hope everyone is enjoying their week, and I want to start off by wishing safe travels to everyone who is heading to Nashville next week for the Katinas and Cousins reunion. I know that we've got people from all over the country coming in over the next week. This time next week, we will be gathering together, and so I'm really excited to see all of you there. I hope that you're as excited as I know my family is. And yeah, safe travels to you. We will be seeing you soon. So please, if you want to keep up with us, keep up with a reunion, just check us out on our Instagram. Probably we'll have stuff there. And if you're at the reunion, we're going to have a great time. So in honor of the reunion happening next week, I have one of the founding members of our cousin community, my dad, Joe Katina, here in the studio with us. Dad, thanks for being here.
Dude, absolutely, Josh. I love it. I'm so thankful. I tell you this, and I really mean it. I'd do this every week if you would have me, but the listeners might get bored, so we won't do that. And yes, I am looking forward to the cousins reunion. Can't wait to see everyone who's coming, and we're ready to host y'all. Yeah. Glad to be here, Josh.
It's going to be fun, and it's good to have it back in Nashville this year. I know, I think the last time we had it in Nashville was 2022.
Yes.
Yeah, so
yes,
it's been 3 years now since we've had the cousin community descend upon Nashville, and I think it's a treat for me. You know, I love going out to the West Coast and getting to bring Alexis, and it's kind of in a way like I'm working, but it's also a vacation for me when I'm out there. But this is fun, getting to share my hometown with the cousins, and getting to just let people see a little bit more of what our life is like here in Franklin and the Nashville area. I want to ask you, Dad, looking with the reunion coming up next week, and this is our fourth year in a row doing it, what's the thing that you're looking the most forward to about the reunion?
I'm looking forward to just hanging with the cousins. You know, throughout the year, we get to see the different ones who are coming. I'm thinking about people from California, people from Hawaii, people from Florida, from Indiana, from Oregon. And if you're listening, you know who you are, who I'm talking about. And yet when we're on the road, we literally, I mean, maybe minutes, we'll see them at the concert. We'll see them for 2 or 3 minutes after the show at, you know, either in the green room or at the product table, or sometimes we just wave to people while we're walking off stage. And the cousins are always so gracious, you know, giving us space because they know we're pretty much on the clock when we're on the road. But I'm looking forward to just hanging out, catching up with people. We get to do meals together, have devotion together. And although we have great programs on Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night prepared, and some guests, we're going to, you know, that'll probably be anywhere from an hour to 90 minutes of kind of an informal concert. But most of the time at the reunion is literally just inviting people, just being with family. And as you know, Josh, you know, our mission statement is inviting people to spiritual family through our songs and stories. And so that happens at the reunion. And then our vision to see families from all over the world healing and united in love. And I know there's, you know, there's just a few families coming, but I know that all families are like our families, in need of healing, in need of breaks like this to reset and unite. And so I'm looking forward to our mission and vision being fulfilled in a very a deeper way over 3 days here in Franklin and Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, one of my one of the things that's cool about doing it here in Franklin is, you know, I'm not saying this to pat ourselves on the back at all, but a lot of our outreach work is done here locally, just
yes,
by virtue of the logistics. Mm-hmm. And today I got to go see you guys at the high school that I graduated from. Mm-hmm. You guys, Love Squared and Katina Ministries, partnered with Centennial High School to help put on a football camp this week for mm-hmm. Kids in the area. And it was really kind of a trip down memory lane for me going, because it was at my high school that I graduated
from. Yeah.
And I hadn't been like in the building. I don't really know when the last time I was there. It's been, I mean, I graduated 11 years ago, so
wow.
It's been several years since I've been in the building, and just being there and seeing the kids and being in the hallways that I was in for that season of my life, there was like a lot of reminiscing and good memories and not so good memories. All
yeah.
Just it's weird being in a place like that used to kind of be like my home base for a
yeah.
long time. And but I say all that to say it does my heart really good to see the impact that we're able to make at Centennial High School and at places locally where I grew up. I guess I'm asking, like, what is the motivation behind what you guys do locally? A lot of it is with young people.
Yeah.
Is that just a coincidence? I don't think it is. Do you think, where does that come from for you guys?
Well, Josh, talking about today at Centennial High School, which you graduated from, Eli graduated from, and Mom and I had the privilege of, when you guys were in school, we were very involved, probably with you and Eli, maybe over involved because you saw us at the school a lot. Mm-hmm. But man, those were some of the greatest days of my life. Mm-hmm. Just seeing you guys grow up, building relationships with the community, with parents, with the staff. I mean, I still, you know, as the education system goes, people don't stay at the same school for forever. And I still go to different high schools at Indy and Franklin High School and Page and even Ravenwood. And I've been to different Williamson County high schools. And normally I'll meet somebody that I knew from our time at Centennial or their time. And so investing in young people, it was so natural because we did it when you guys were coming up. Mm-hmm. And we're still involved. Obviously, Blaze and still high school. And you know, it's interesting because today when I went on campus, when you and Eli were in school, we were very involved. So the doors were open pretty easily because people knew us. People knew, oh, that's Josh and Eli's parents. We trust Josh and Eli, so we trust the parents. And we worked hard to build relationships and get influence on the campuses. And so in some ways, I expected that mm-hmm. hey, we can have influence here because we're supporters of the school financially. We support, you know, just the staff there. But like you said, you graduated 11 years ago. Eli graduated 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some ways, Mom and I have not been on the campus, quote unquote, like we used to be. So Centennial has a new football coach,
mm-hmm.
but because of the work established through Love Squared years ago, and now I'm not taking any credit, through Jeremy Williams, through the associates that we've had over the years, through Bradley, Basic, Tere,
Noah,
and now we have Alex. And Andrew, when I walked, now I met the coach, and the coach knows who we are, mm-hmm. but he knows Love Squared and Katina Ministries, not because of the Katina family or personalities, mm-hmm. but because of the work that's being done there.
Yeah.
So he when he introduced us today, I mean, you were there, he said, hey guys, these are the Katinas. They're a part of Love Squared. We love Love Squared. Love Squared helps us. Love yeah. Squared is impacting this school. And man, I was so humbled and proud at the same time. So if you're listening and you're a partner with Love Squared and Katina Ministries, I want you to know, I wish you could have been on campus with us today when we got to sing to the kids. We talked to them about accepting responsibility. These kids were eight years old to 14. Mm-hmm. And what did you think? I thought they were fully attentive.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
When I was there, like I was, like I said, it'd been a while since I've been back on campus, and I was actually thinking about this interview that I had seen of Kirk Cousins. You know, Kirk Cousins. The quarterback.
Yeah. You like that?
Yeah. He, if you don't know who Kirk Cousins is, he's an NFL quarterback. He's been in the league for a long time. He played at, I think, Michigan State in mm-hmm. college. And someone asked him, this was years ago, I think it was maybe during the playoffs, and they were asking him, where does this rank in games, the biggest games of your career? And Kirk basically said, you know, I've played in the NFL for a long time. I played Big Ten college football. I played in some really big games, he said, but if I'm being honest, there's no game I've ever played in that meant more to me than when I played on Friday nights in high school for my hometown. And I was thinking about that, and I was looking at the young men that we were able to spend time with, and I think that what Kirk Cousins was saying is like that part of your life is so formative
yeah.
and like it's the foundation of everything else that you do. For a guy that has played in front of thousands of people, played in NFL stadiums, for him to say no games ever meant more to me than those games on mm-hmm. Friday nights mm-hmm. playing with my high school friends, for my representing my community.
Yeah.
Like the question I asked was, do you think it's a coincidence that a lot of the work you guys do with young people, I don't think it is, because I think we recognize the potential impact that
yes.
we can make on young people. In a lot of ways, there's nothing else that we do that has that lasting of an impact, I would say.
Totally
than,
agree.
Than reaching young people at that high school, middle school age.
I don't know if I've ever shared this story with you. I'm sure I've shared it somewhere. But I remember when I was in high school in Samoa, and I, you know, in Samoa, at least for me, my whole dream was, okay, I love Samoa. I love being Samoan. But God, my dream was to get off the island and do something with my life. Not that you cannot do that in Samoa, but that was just my dream. But the way you get off the island in Samoa is you either join the military or you get a scholarship. You get a scholarship through playing sports or an academic scholarship. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to play sports, so there was no way I'm getting a sport athletic scholarship. I could have gotten an academic one, but I won't go into the details of it, but our family education wasn't like the most important thing growing up. Mm-hmm. It was all about serving the church, and again, it all belonged, right? It worked out. But I remember specifically, I think it was either my freshman or sophomore year, and there was these athletes from the States. They were all Samoan. They were called, what were they? Were they Athletes in Action, Polynesian Athletes in Action?
Hmm.
I remember one of them was my cousin Jericho Toilolo. He came. Wow. It was when he was playing for Rice University. So this might have been 40 years ago. I don't know. There was probably 10 to 15 of these athletes. They came and did an assembly. I don't remember anything they said, but I remember what they made me feel like. They put gasoline on this dream of mine that, wow, if these guys can do it, I can someday make something of myself. There was a defining moment for me in high school. So doing these, like what we did today at Centennial High School, and we'll do those throughout the year at different high schools. It's such a joy for me. I mean, now I'm 55. Mm-hmm. And when I walked on, there's a father that came out. He's a volunteer. He's not a coach. He's a volunteer. He was so happy to see us. He said, "Hey guys, I'm so glad you guys are here." He said, you guys have been coming, and when you started coming and speaking to this camp when my son was just a little kid, and now his son is a junior in high school. He's a rising junior playing for Centennial. So yeah, Josh, I think it's one of the greatest passion of our lives. When I say our lives, I mean our family, mm-hmm. the Katina family, us and me and you and mom and Eli and all the uncles and their wives and the kids, the cousins. It's to impact the next generation. And I feel like God's called us to do it. It doesn't feel hard. It's not a chore.
Yeah.
It's a joy.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely felt joy when I was there today. And I think back on like especially the men that were in my life during that era, mm-hmm. when I was in high school, like some of the coaches that I had and even teachers, not even just men, but women teachers who like that age of kind of like discovery. And I probably was more curious than any time in my life, mm-hmm. when I was that age. Like I think about like my love for reading, my love for music, my love for sports, and my love for the Lord. I think I can trace all of those back to people who invested time in me when I was 14 years old, 15 yeah. years old, and that they planted seeds in my life that have grown and continue to grow. And so it's an honor to just be able to be a part of something where we have young men who we get 20, 30 minutes to just talk to them and be with them.
And I would encourage parents. I think that we live in an era, a time where, again, if you watch the news and you listen to the news and you're on social media a lot, it just seems like the highlights are the negatives. This generation is that, you know, they don't do this, or they're not honorable, they don't work hard. And we hear all this negative narrative. Mm-hmm. I'm not discounting that some of that may not be true. But if you are a parent, I would encourage you to go to get involved with young people at your church, at your local school, at sports, wherever you can, because you'll learn two things, in my opinion. Because if you get old and you don't ever surround yourself around young people, you become irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And I think we all, no, it doesn't matter what your gifts are. God created us. If we love people and we want to sow into the next generation, God will open doors for us. But here's two reasons why I would recommend parents be intentional about exposing yourself to young people, middle schoolers, high schoolers, kids in elementary, whatever. Number one is you will find out that there's so much of a need. They need, this younger generation needs some love. They need some positive influence. They need some positive energy. They need encouragement. There's so many young people that don't have an adult that will come alongside of them and show up for them. That's what I love about Love Squared. Love Squared, and I'm not bragging about what we do. I just love what we do. We're not inviting people to come to our thing. No, we're showing up mm-hmm. for their things.
Yeah.
We are earning their trust, and then we get to come alongside them. So number one reason why you need to, if you're an adult or an older person like me, why you need to be intentional about being around young people is they need positive influence. Mm-hmm. And then the other reason, number two, is that it will dispel, is that a word? Dispel
yeah.
the negative narrative that feels like it's so overwhelming. there are kids, there are students that they're good kids. Mm-hmm. Man, today when we were speaking to those kids, I forgot that we were at a public high school. Mm-hmm. I was asking questions about accepting responsibility. What does this mean? Yeah. And man, there was young men raising their hands, standing up, giving very articulate and sound definitions mm-hmm. of what responsibility means, what accepting responsibility means. I don't know if these kids go to church. I don't know, but they obviously they're good kids with some good influence in their lives. Mm-hmm. So old people like me, be intentional. Put yourself in the company of young people so you can stay relevant.
Yeah. I listened to this podcast probably a couple of months ago with Lecrae's podcast with another pastor. I forget what his name was. Okay. But he was a pastor of like a pretty big church, I think somewhere in Atlanta maybe.
Okay.
And this pastor, he seemed relatively young to be like a senior pastor of like a big church like that. But anyways, somehow him and Lecrae got to talking about this pastor. Basically, he said the most important person in the church, on staff at the church, is the youth pastor.
Mm.
And he said there he sees that there's a culture in America's church today where who is the youth pastor at most churches? It's the guy who has the most potential to be a senior pastor one day.
Mm.
And he said, like, I mean, you've been in a lot of churches. It seems like the youth pastor position in a lot of churches is kind of a stepping stone.
Yeah.
And what this guy was saying is that that causes dysfunction in the church.
Mm.
When the youth pastor has... He has access to, he or she has access to people when they're at their most vulnerable
mm-hmm.
and with the most potential to create a lasting legacy of Christ in their life. And when the turnover is just year after year, they left to go pastor another church.
Mm.
We're missing a lot of opportunities with young people.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was an interesting thought that like, this is a guy who runs a church that is ministering to thousands, and his opinion was the most important job on staff is the youth pastor.
Yeah. Dude, I agree with you. And I personally know some youth pastors that they're older. They're in their 40s and 50s. It's not necessarily because they can't be a senior pastor, mm-hmm. but they are decisive on their calling.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm called to pastor young people.
Mm-hmm.
I think about Jeremy.
Yeah.
Not to say Jeremy, if you're listening, no shade at you. He's not old, but Jeremy Williams, he could be a senior pastor if he wanted to. And maybe someday he will be.
Mm-hmm.
But man, he loves young people.
Right.
And when I see the way he connects with young people, he's anointed to use that word, that mm-hmm. spiritual word. His purpose is to be with young people.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think Jeremy, and I know other people like him, is such a good example of someone who is so confident in their identity and mm-hmm. in their calling that the Lord is able to use them because of that. I think everyone has a calling on their lives. And when we submit to it fully, that's when God can do the most through us.
Yeah. I've shared this recently that Josh, you know, when obviously me and uncles were coming up doing music back in the 90s and 2000s, because of the way the church, you know, industry works, and maybe it's not just the church, the music industry works. We used to be a group for youth conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we aged out, right? And I remember thinking, well, we got to speak to young people while we're young. But I sincerely believe this now. Now I'm 55. I believe that I'm more relevant to a young person than I've ever been. Hmm. Now, I can't speak for the young person. Maybe the young person says, well, that's what you think, but I ain't listening to you. But what I think because of my age, because of life experience, because I've been a dad to you and Eli, I've got nieces and nephews who are now adults. I look back at how I parented and I've learned so much, not necessarily from my successes, because there was only a few, but there was a lot of mistakes and I've learned so much from them. Hmm. So I think my compassion, my belief, and my truth speaking towards young people is probably the experience. It's helped me a lot. Like I can say things at 55 that I would not have been able to say at 25 because I didn't know. Yeah. Or if I said it at 25, it might have come across more arrogant. Mm-hmm. Not because a 25-year-old is more arrogant, but because Joe Katina, 25-year-old, was more arrogant. Hmm. And so I love that when we get opportunities. I don't feel resentment that we don't get invited to as many youth conferences or youth conventions as we used to. And when we do get the opportunity, I think uncles would say the same thing. We thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah. I want to pivot to something else that it's been on my heart. And I honestly wasn't sure if I was going to talk to you about it today, but mm-hmm. I feel led to. Over the last week or week and a half or so, the Christian music industry has been put under a microscope mm-hmm. and received probably some well-deserved scrutiny, but a lot of criticism because of the Michael Tate story, and even beyond, I don't want to pile on Michael Tate, but even beyond that, just some dysfunctions in the Christian music industry have been brought to light. And I've seen, I feel like I've seen my fair share of really just a lot of a lot of criticism, and I feel like a lot of it's probably fair, but at the same time, not that I'm an expert on the Christian music industry, but I did grow up with a family who was a part of it. And one thing that I understand is that Christian music artists are human beings, and human beings are fallen, and we have all of the same issues and struggles and dysfunctions as someone in the R&B music industry or secular music industry, whatever it is. And I just wanted to ask you, Dad, I know that I was with you and the uncles when we read some of the articles, and I could tell you guys were burdened by it and saddened by it in the same way that I was. If you're comfortable sharing, what do you think the appropriate response is from people who love Christian music and have been listening to for decades? Maybe that there's what do you think the response is for someone like that?
Yeah. No, thanks for asking that question, Josh. I was not expecting it.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's been a it's been a tough couple of weeks for the Christian music industry. And I want to say that to the victims of not just this specific situation, but any situation where somebody has been victimized by someone in Christian leadership, whether it be pastoral leadership or a teacher or Christian artist, I want to say that we are praying for you, mm-hmm. and we're so sorry. I love Michael Tate. I love you know, there's anyone else that I know personally that is been exposed, their past sin has been exposed, I love them. Mm-hmm. Because I can say this with all sincerity, Christian artist, including me and my brothers who have been singing Christian music or music for the last 35 years, this is not an excuse. This is a fact. We are broken people in need of a Savior. Mm-hmm. And that is not an excuse to cover up anything. It's just the fact that from my own hope and experience, I have been saved by the blood of Jesus. I've been saved, I've been a Christian, a follower of Jesus all of my life. And I have not followed Jesus perfectly any day. It's been a journey. That is no excuse for my sin. Jesus loves me not because of my performance, but because of who I am. Jesus loves people who have been hurt by leadership, and he loves leadership. Mm-hmm. So I would say I know that the Bible says that people in the teachers of the gospel will be held to a different standard. And hey, that's between everybody and God. I don't know what that means, but it's the truth. I understand that when I sing and speak and when I'm in public, I may be held to a different standard. And yet, being held to a different standard, Josh, from my own experience, that doesn't keep me from falling at times. And my excuse is not that I'm human. That's not an excuse. It's that I'm a sinner and that I need a Savior. And my salvation is being worked out between me and God every day. I pray for Michael Tate. I pray for any public figure in Christian work to get the healing they deserve. I know my story, and I need healing. I know that there are some things that I've done, some things that I've said, some things that I've thought in my past that if they were exposed, I'm sure I would get the negative feedback. I've not been on social media because it doesn't help me. Mm-hmm. So to anybody who... Did you ask me what I would say to the Christian music? What did you... Yeah.
What do you think is... What's the response for someone, a fan of Christian music? Maybe you grew up listening to DC Talk or the Newsboys or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a lot of people who are... maybe feel confused or betrayed or like, what's really going on inside of Christian music? What would you say to that?
I'll tell you what's going on in Christian music, what is going on everywhere else. Hmm. People who are, and again, I'm not defending anybody. I'm just telling the fact. There are people who are doing their best to follow Jesus, who make mistakes. And some mistakes have... we can say, well, sin is sin. That's true. But some mistakes and some sin just have greater consequences. Mm-hmm. I'm not the God of that. Mm-hmm. I'm not. And if you're a fan of Christian music, I'm thankful that you listen to Christian music. I've been able to fulfill God's purpose and provide for my family because of this platform. And I want to say to you, I'm sorry. And that's why, as you listen to Christian music, do not make people your savior. Your savior is Jesus. Mm-hmm. I want to be careful because I don't want to sound judgmental, but I heard of a radio station taking all of a certain band's music off because of this whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. From their rotation. I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah.
So, but my thought was, wow, if you want to do that and you did in a deep inventory into most bands, including the Katinas, of who's qualified and who's not qualified to be on your radio station because of their sin, you may not be able to play music. Hmm. You might just start playing other, just play music that's not labeled Christian. And again, I'm not here to condone or minimize sin. Mm-hmm. It's not what I'm not doing that. Sin is sin. There's consequences for sin. I've experienced that in my own life, and I will continue to. The truth always catches up. The truth will set you free. The truth will find you out. The truth, it will heal you. It will do everything. But just as it does for the Christian artist, it will do the same for the Christian music listener. And I don't want to sound cliche-ish, but who has no sin, cast the first stone. Hmm. So here's my word. Here would be my word to fans of Christian music. Pray for Christian artists. Don't idolize them.
Yeah.
Don't put them in a place where you think, well, they're singing this and they're on stage, so they must. I mean, the hope is that they are. I'll speak on behalf of me and my brothers who have many sins, who have committed sins that you know what, outside, that we are telling the truth about them in certain places. I'll never say it from the stage. Things that I've said, things that I've done, and I'm fully known and fully loved by the people that need to know. I will say that. But at the same time, if something from my past or any of my brother's past comes up that the public doesn't know about, we'll deal with it then.
Yeah.
But all we can do today is live in the light today. And by the grace of God, live one day at a time. And so I love Michael, praying for Michael, anyone else who is in the public eye that has, whether you're in repentance or not in repentance, I'm praying for you, mm-hmm. praying that you would come to repentance. And at the same time, I'm probably sounding redundant now. If you love Christian music, pray for those artists. They are not perfect.
Yeah. I think with, obviously, Michael Tate is not the first
right.
high-profile Christian to have a public failure like this. And unfortunately, I know he won't be the last.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm reminded of is I think to me, like, people who feel that betrayal mm-hmm. or... yeah, who feel that betrayal, I understand it. I would also say it comes with the territory when you're depending on man, mm-hmm. sinners, to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it not only with, like, Christian artists, and I've done this myself. I see it with people can idolize, you know, pastors mm-hmm. or idolize politicians or mm-hmm. idolize certain celebrities. And like you said, if you look deep enough and scrutinize anyone deep enough, eventually you'll find a reason why they're not qualified
mm-hmm.
for whatever you think it is. And to me, it's just a reminder that I think Christian music is great. I love Christian music. I don't think it replaces the gospel. And I don't think mm-hmm. it replaces Jesus ultimately.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's another, I talk about podcasts all the time. There's this guy, his name's Ruslan. Have you heard of Ruslan? He's a air quote Christian celebrity. He has a pretty big podcast mm-hmm. and YouTube channel. And he talks about how, you know, do not mistake my podcast as a replacement for the love of Christ, reading your word,
yeah.
having an intimate prayer relationship. He said, you should view like even books and devotionals outside of the Bible. Those are supplements. They're not your nutrient. They're not the core of your diet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, if you put your trust in man, ultimately you'll always be disappointed.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
I totally agree with you. And again, I don't know if in my answer, if I addressed victims of abuse enough. I want to say again, if you're a victim of, you know, they say church hurt is a worse hurt. Mm-hmm. I love you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that, you know, I believe in the church. I'm a part of the church. We're the body of Christ. And we hurt a lot of people because of our, I'm identifying myself with the church, the body of Christ, because of our religiosity, because of our judgmental spirit, because of our hypocrisy, all of these things. And that's why we need Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so to any victim, whether you've been the leadership abuse or sexual abuse or theology abuse, whatever, I don't want to just brush over. I want to say, I'm sorry. And please get the help you deserve, get the help you need. But as long as people, human beings, are a part of the church will not be perfect,
mm-hmm.
because I'm a part of it and you're a part of it. Mm-hmm. And yet I'm grateful. I'm grateful that my connection with God, my connection with my family, and my connection with spiritual family. I do think I'm a believer that people need connection with the spiritual family, and many times that comes through the local church.
Well, thanks for talking about that with me, Dad. I think it's easy for it to just, to me as a someone who doesn't like conflict, it's easy for me to just say, we don't need to talk about
that.
Sure. But I think truth and honesty and open conversation is the only way for healing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And not that this podcast is going to fix everything, but I don't want to be a person who runs away from those hard conversations. And
Josh, that's why you host it. And I appreciate you bringing it up because, you know, as you said, when the news started breaking, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. you and all of us, we were working at the office and it started dripping. And I found us, we were hurting.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was because we don't want to have conflict, but me and uncles haven't talked about it a lot,
mm-hmm.
for several reasons, because we care about Michael, we care about whoever these victims are, but also because we know ourselves and we know that, man, but by the grace of God, and I'm going to speak for uncles. I'll speak for myself. But by the grace of God, Josh, in my own sin, in my own failures, with my flaws, with my own personal defects, I could be dead, abandoned, in prison. I could just, I don't, take the worst case scenario and I could be there. But man, I'm here. Because I'm the beloved Christ.
Mm.
And if somebody's like, well, how did you get to be the beloved of Christ? I didn't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just surrendered. And that's something that I got to do every day. Christ did the work. Christ did the work for every offender, every victim, he did the work. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if you want to be free from your addiction or from being hurt by somebody who has an addiction, there's only one solution, one resolution. His name is Jesus.
I think we'll end right there, Dad. Thank you for your time and thank you for your honesty. And I love having you here. So thank you. And
I love you, Josh. Thank you.
Yeah. To those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day.